always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Yes, here we go. Follow the Money. Pauly Howard, John Jastrzemski, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot going on. And Mitch out till Tuesday and perfect timing. The concrete jungle. JJ filling in the next couple days. And the parade was today. Orange and blue skies. He was in the middle of it. The Yankees are on fire. The U.S. Open is in his backyard. World Cup going on right now. Nil-nil detectors out with the Swiss and Bosnia. Great to see you, John. How are things going, my man?
Pauly, I'm doing fantastic. I did about 4 hours of television on SOI New York, covering everything that you needed to see for the parade. First time in 53 years the New York Knickerbockers win a championship. But for Follow the Money and Pauly Howard, come on, this is legendary stuff right here. I am honored I get to co-host with you for the next 2 days. Hopefully, I am not going to suck and I'm going to deliver a whole lot of winners for the VSiN audience.
Yeah.
And I will throw a polo shirt on in the next segment, but I felt obligated after having a suit on for the better part of the last 4 hours that I had to honor and show some love to my favorite New York sports team, Pauly, since the 96 New York Yankees.
Very good. And you got the tickets and receipts to prove it as you jumped on the Knicks before the season. Did you have to use the bathroom? I mean, you went 2 hours without a commercial break. It's a little Scott Hansen here. You got to hold it.
You're absolutely right about that. Thankfully, I timed it in a way where I was able to, 10 minutes before the show, do what I needed to do with the urinal.
Yeah.
And ready to rock and roll. So that way, hey, the 2 hours while they're going down to Canyon of Heroes, smoking cigars, ripping tequila shots, partying with the New Yorkers across the way, I'm able to go and do my thing. And then once, I want to say Mike Breen hit the microphone as the MC, and I knew we were off the air, that was my moment of levity. But we got a lot cooking in New York City. I mean, I think the timing by Steve Cohen and Stephanie was impeccable, considering parade. The Yankees are by far and away the best team in the American League.
Yes.
The U.S. Open is at Shinnecock. And I'm already feeling some FOMO, Pauly, because I did not bet Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
And I thought long and hard about betting Rory McIlroy. He's not one of my favorites. But now that he's won this Masters in back-to-back years, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel like in many ways these tournaments now are so stress-free for him. It's a course that's very similar to what he might play in Ireland, in Scotland with all the wind, that he's a party that could go and thrive over the next few days.
Sure. All excellent points. I have FOMO as well. Are you surprised with the wind that we didn't have some absurd scores? That 2 under is the leader. Not a lot of guys made a mess of themselves out there. Sam Stevens is in the clubhouse at 2 under. He was 90-1. First round leader, but we got a long ways to go. But are you surprised with the scores thus far that these guys are actually putting up respectable numbers, even though the wind's wreaking havoc?
So I'm not surprised because you have a lot of players, Pauly, who are very comfortable playing in these sort of conditions. I know when you're saying, hey, you're a golfer and you're dealing with 25, 30 mile an hour winds, that's not comfortable for anybody. I totally understand that. But what I'm talking about is, hey, guys have been, hey, if you're playing courses on the beach, if you're playing courses in like British Open type conditions, this is not your first rodeo. You've been there before. So that was one of the big elements I looked at with this tournament as far as guys that I liked. I wanted to make sure that, hey, when heavy winds have been a part of the calculus, and they absolutely were a part of the calculus at Shinnecock in round one, they will be maybe moving forward despite some warmer temperatures over the next couple of days. If you're a guy that the wind is going to get to you and it's problematic, I immediately crush you off the list.
Sure.
So, you know, hopefully the guys that I have in the portfolio, as we sit here starting the show, Follow the Money, a couple of minutes in, they'll be alive and well by Friday. And really what we hope for, Pauly, is that we can flirt on Sunday. And I don't know what your golf betting strategy is. I, for one, and listen, it's hard to get the outrights.
Oh, yeah.
I've hit a few earlier in the year. They're lottery tickets. But if you can get guys that you like, top five, top 10, play them in matchups, that's my hope here to go and have a profitable U.S. Open.
Yeah. McIlroy, your favorite at 5-1. Scheffler, 9-1. Last check, he was 2 over for the tournament. John Rahm, 12-1. Fleetwood as even, and he's 16-1, along with Wyndham Clark and Schauffele, about 20-1. DeChambeau is going to go shortly, and it's a good leaderboard so far. Aaron Rise, 1 under. Ben James, Greisserman. You don't see a lot of guys who blew up today. There was, who was it at the back here? Koepka played well. He had plenty of birdie opportunities, but couldn't take advantage. Harris English, 2 over, but there was Berger blew up and threw up all over himself at 7 over. And Cam Smith and Goddard can go back to the bottom. Bing. He was terrible at 5 over as well. So a couple guys taking themselves out of contention right away. Any other surprises jump out to you with the leaderboard?
You know, I got to be honest with you, Paulie. I'm a little surprised with Goddard. I didn't play him, but a lot of smart people that bet golf on a weekly basis that are like my golf guys, they were talking him up. Mm-hmm. Jersey guy, connection to Shinnecock. Right. He's played the course a ton. And he was playing some great golf earlier in the year. But it's a course that can get to you. And clearly it got to Goddard. Surprises, nothing really stood out to me. As far as guys that I liked going into the tournament, I do not have any action on Rory McIlroy. The guys that I was in on, Fleetwood, I was in on Schauffele, I was in on Patrick Reed, and then I started hearing that every golf handicapper was in on Patrick Reed, which you know, Paulie, the minute you start hearing that, you know it's the absolute kiss of death and it's absolute misery, so I didn't feel good about that. And the other guy I played was Matthew Fitzpatrick. Those are like my four guys that I'm kind of laddering up this week. So as far as the leaderboard, though, nothing really stood out to me that's incredibly surprising. And one note on Koepka, he has actually hit the ball extremely well this year. The problem he has run into in a lot of these tournaments, he cannot make a putt. My goodness, he can't make a putt. And if you're going to go and be in contention in the U.S. Open or any of these majors for that matter, if you're not putting, I'm sorry, you got no chance.
Yep. And he had several birdie putts on the back nine. There were a couple chances to get to 2 under. And then the wheels came off and 3 over right now. Harris English, 2 over. Straka, 2 over. And McNealy, 2 over. Fitzpatrick, 1 over as well. Can't wait to get to the parade. Also, Reeler Fugazi coming up. We'll talk NBA with Keith Smith. A lot coming up on the program. We had another draw to start the day with the World Cup. You are up 26 units if you bet the draw in every match. Czech scored 6 minutes in, and then they shut it down. Nothing the rest of the way. Goal in the first 10 was plus 450. Exact score, 1-1, plus 650. Draw, plus 275. BTTS is now 18-7 for the tournament, both teams to score. And there's another incredible trend. If you bet the underdog to score, that is now 18-4 so far in the tournament. The underdog to score. And now we're at halftime in a gotta-have-it game for the Swiss. They were minus 180. It's 0-0 against Bosnia. And the total is 1.5. Swiss minus 180. 170 in that range to win, and they got to get 3 points in this one. And following this, coming up in Vancouver at 3 o'clock Pacific, will be Canada and Qatar. Qatar plus 1.5 is popular. 10 of the last 11 matches with Canada have gone under 2.5, and they are over a $3 favorite in this one. So these are two games here, two matches that the Swiss and Canada got to have it, or it's going to be over. Probably for these clubs. Anything stick out today with soccer that you think of, JJ?
I'm so glad you brought this up, Paulie, because I do the VSiN Weekend Morning Line now every Sunday with our pal Will Hill. And he has been texting me these parlays that he's thrown in with these draws.
Yes.
And I mentioned the FOMO that I had not getting in on Rory McIlroy. Paulie, what am I doing with myself? How am I not blindly betting these, for goodness sakes? I'm missing out on such golden opportunities.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned it. Hey, it's been draw city at the World Cup. And that trend, I did not know about these underdog teams scoring here. Yep. You just told me it's 18-4 in the last 22?
Yes. That's a good nugget.
Have you been taking advantage? Here's the better question, Paulie. Have you been taking advantage of this?
I was late with the draw, and I didn't know about the underdog trend till last night. But I was out with the BTTS kept cashing. We've been updating that every single day, and that's usually a small plus price.
Here's my question to you now, Paulie. Do I hop on now? And I'm not going to pretend to be some soccer betting expert. I am not. Like, it is not my forte. I get into it for the World Cup. I start dabbling for the World Cup. So I don't want anybody out there in a VSiN audience to think that John Jastrzemski is some astute soccer handicapper. I am not. But my question to you, is it too late now to hop on this trend? Or is it one of those situations because we were not there for the wedding, we all of a sudden don't want to be showing up for the funeral? Like, where do I stand on this?
I think you're fine if you jump in now with the draws, and I think you're fine with the underdog scoring. I think the big story has been all the goals that have happened, especially what's going on at the hydration breaks. But I think you'll be fine if you jump in and the draws continue, as these have been tight matches, and you get that 13-1 shot that came in with Spain to start the party. Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot to get to coming up. I can't wait to recap the parade. Brunson went after people today. The cops tried to arrest a player. You won't believe it. John was in the middle of all of it. And how about this? The misery continues, where this team just got swept and they're on pace to lose 100 games. All that coming up next. And where's Giannis going to go? On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, Downtown Circa, where it all goes down. All that straight ahead. Stay tuned. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Several chances for the Swiss. Still 0-0. Detectors out. No score. 55th minute. Swiss minus 105. Draw plus 145. Bosnia 6-1. 0-0 before the match was 11-1. And again, can we get another draw here? If that would happen, you'd be up over 28 units for the tournament. If this one holds, incredible. Paulie and John Jastrzemski with you. VSiN, Follow the Money. Okay. So, number one, it was awesome today. Orange and blue skies. You had a ticket on the Knicks 15-1 before the season. The incredible run to go 15-1 to close it out in the playoffs. The largest margin of victory ever. And Brunson stayed quiet, ignored the critics through this run, but went after him today after they celebrated their first title in 53 years. And while he was at City Hall, he said, "There's a lot of people that had a lot of negative stuff to say, a lot of opinions, but when you prove them wrong, you don't have to say bleep. They don't deserve it." And I also like that Bridges said the Becky Hammon comment about you can't win with a little guy was motivation for him as well, as they did this and he led the way in an all-time performance right up there with Michael Jordan to go for 45 on the road in a clincher to take the $100 million pay cut. People laughed at the contract, and to prove everyone wrong and deliver the championship, he certainly runs New York right now, JJ.
There's no question about it, Paulie. Listen, I cover all the New York teams. Obviously, I have a New York podcast. I do TV at SNY 5 days a week. We did our parade coverage. We were rocking and rolling basically for 4 straight hours, 2+ hours without a commercial, but who's keeping score? The King of New York debate is over, my friend. I know Aaron Judge has multiple MVPs. 3 to be exact.
Yep.
When you end a 53-year title drought and do the unthinkable, this city, Paulie, never in its wildest dreams imagined Knicks could go and win a championship. Considering the likes of all the misses in free agency, the abyss of Isaiah Thomas, and some of the roster moves and not getting Zion and missing out by Curry. I mean, I could go and give you the laundry list of ineptitude from the minute Patrick Ewing retired. That all changed when Jalen Brunson walked in the door. And, Paulie, I watch a lot of college basketball. I wager on a lot of college basketball. Jalen Brunson was very good to me at Villanova. I thought he was an outstanding college player. I thought it was insulting he was a second-round pick. He should have been a first-round pick. It was a joke that he wasn't. I thought he would turn into a very solid NBA point guard. I'm like, wow, Brunson will be a 10-year NBA point guard. He'll be workmanlike. He'll have a very nice career. If you would have told me, watching him in college, even watching him that last year in Dallas when he filled in very, very well for Luka Doncic, that he would go and be the number one player on a championship team, Paulie, I would have looked at you like you had 10 heads and that you were certifiably insane. So whatever the motivation might have been for Jalen Brunson, more power to you, because in a clinching game in the NBA Finals, he can now put himself in the same sentence as Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And you and I both know that's pretty good.
You got into this on your New York, New York podcast. I'm here for all of it. You argued best New York sports free agent signing. You could say best NBA free agency signing. You could say best free agency signing in any sport ever. I think when you talk about all this stuff with Brunson, I think it's all on the table.
No doubt. And listen, New York has had some great free agent signings over the years. Reggie Jackson, before my time, in 1977, took the Yankees over the top and hit three home runs in a clinching World Series game. Reggie Jackson also walked into a team that won an American League pennant. CeCe Sabathia was a great signing. Carlos Beltran was a great signing. The Knicks had a 53-year title drought. Like, their title drought, Paulie, correct me if I'm wrong, like, it's the Knicks, it's the Buffalo Bills,
yeah,
it's the Minnesota Vikings, like, the Cleveland Guardians, prior the Indians were a team that kind of fit that description as well. But I think there were a whole lot of New Yorkers that celebrated this championship, and rightfully so, might I add, like the Red Sox did in 2004, like the Cavaliers did when they were down 3-1 against Golden State, the Cubbies when they won their first World Series in 100 years. That's what it feels like for New Yorkers. And I do want to give everybody in the VSiN audience some perspective on this. The reason this parade is the biggest parade that I've seen in my time being a New Yorker, the city unites around the Knicks.
Yeah.
There are Yankee and Mets fans.
Yep.
There are Jet and Giant fans. The fact that you could walk down the streets and every Mo, Larry, and Curly's wearing a Knick hat shirt, high five, and let's go Knicks, Knicks and five. Paulie, it's New York City. There's a zillion people here. It felt like a small town, and how everybody came together and rallied around the Knicks is really one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I'm a native New Yorker, and I've lived here my entire life. It's been incredibly special.
Linda Cohn was on with us and said like up to 40% of the fans are Fugazi, though. Do you have a problem with the, is that number too high, or do you have a problem with the bandwagon Barneys?
No, because you know what a bandwagon means, Paulie? It means you're good. You know what I mean? Like the Knick fan that was watching Langston Galloway,
yeah,
and Lance Thomas,
Lou Amundson,
and Lou Amundson, of course, yes. You know what I mean? They're going to be there, but like you're going to attract new fans and you're going to bring in a different demographic when you're good. Like you talk about all the sports, you talk about all the teams. They're now bandwagon Kansas City Chiefs fans. Why? Because they're good. Why all of a sudden are people New England Patriot fans? Because they idolized Tom Brady and they loved what Bill Belichick was able to do. Like I think about 70s NFL football. Why living in New York City are there people that root for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys? I root for the Miami Dolphins, even though I didn't grow up in the 1970s. Because like you gravitate towards those star teams and those star players. So, hey, like New Yorkers want to hop on the bandwagon? More power to you. It's not going to bother me. Yeah. Come aboard. All welcome. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. So it lived up to the hype, you said. Right in the middle of it. It was fantastic. A couple highlights today. Look at this lunatic here. Right in the middle of it, ordering Chick-fil-A with Uber Eats. What a tough assignment for the delivery guy here. I mean, this is a horrible job as he's coming in through the sea of people and massive humanity trying to get in the middle. Someone ordered Chick-fil-A right in the middle of the parade. And then other than Robinson's truck, which was a highlight, and seeing Clyde Frazier and Spike Lee, I think another highlight was, or lowlight, that the cops thought Kolek was a fan and then got handsy with him. He was high-fiving. They didn't know he was a player.
Poor Tyler Kolek, who actually had a couple of moments for the Knicks earlier in the year. He actually had a pretty good NBA Cup final game against the San Antonio Spurs. When they ended up matching up in the NBA Finals, Tyler Kolek wasn't going to go and sniff the court. But Paulie, he had like the Upper East Side frat bro look with the straight brim cap and the hair coming out. You know, the police officer's probably like, this guy's a part of the New York Knicks, so... Come on, listen, the NYPD did a phenomenal job. I ran into a bunch of the officers when I was trying to get my way into SOI, so I want to commend them and salute them for the fantastic work that they did.
Yes.
But whoever that officer was, come on, man, you got to start watching more regular season basketball. Let's go here.
Yeah, no kidding. No, did Ben Stiller create some issues? I don't know if you saw it, but he was on Inside the NBA on the pregame, right, before the finals. And Barkley, because Spike Lee was just on, and they asked Spike Lee, how much money have you spent over the years on tickets? He goes, I don't want to answer. My wife might be watching. I didn't know Spike didn't get along with Dolan. That's why he pays. But they asked Ben Stiller, you've been a season ticket holder for years. What is it? He goes, oh, well, actually, celebrities, we get comp tickets. Did he create a bleep storm with that comment, knowing
no,
that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because that's always been the prevailing thought, Paulie, in New York. And listen, I don't know Spike Steele. He's had tickets forever. I don't know what the dynamic is between he and James Dolan. But like, as far as the other celebrities that show up, it's kind of paid for by like their PR and their agent, that sort of deal. So listen, maybe at some point in my life, Paulie, I will have that problem where I can just go and have somebody go and take care of courtside seats for me. And I can show up at Madison Square Garden wherever the hell I want.
Yes.
In another lifetime. Listen, I just can say this has been so much fun. And listen, I've cashed on it. It ended up being incredibly profitable. Mm-hmm. I just hope for you, Paulie, as the New Yorkers have been waxing poetic, and I'm sure that the national audience is like, all right, enough, JJ, enough New York audience.
No, it's your day.
You get it.
It's your day. Yeah.
It is. It is our day.
Your day.
And I'm just very thankful because, to be honest, Paulie, when I made that 15-1 bet, I never in a million years thought the Knicks were going to go and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, but I said, hey, 15-1, get to the NBA Finals. There's maneuverability. You can mix and match, whatever. I knew the minute San Antonio won that seventh game, I'm watching that game with a bunch of buddies. I said to them, Knicks are winning the championship because they matched up great with the Spurs, and I ended up being right about that.
Absolutely. And to pay off the tease, why New Yorkers are feeling good, Red Sox got swept at home. They're on pace to lose 100 games.
Worst, Paulie, they stink.
Worst home record in baseball. Toronto gets the broom out 4-3. Big show coming up. We'll talk to Adam Zadroik, World Cup, Kelly Bidlin on the U.S. Open in play round two. The Butcher, Steve Wiss with his selections. How will USA do tomorrow? Up next, NBA draft a couple days away. Where is Giannis going? Keith Smith up next. VSiN, Follow the Money, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Stick with us.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Still 0-0, Switzerland and Bosnia, 70th minute, draw down to plus 115. Incredible. And Bosnia 8-1 in play, Canada and Qatar coming up. Paulie Howard and John Jastrzemski back on the program. Keith Smith joins us now at Keith Smith NBA on X. He's on the Progressive guest line. Draft on Tuesday, the Giannis rumors, the Trae Young news, a lot to get into. Keith, appreciate the time. How you been, pal?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So I'm surprised Miami hasn't pulled the trigger yet. I think it's an incredible package that they're offering for Giannis. I know they were hot and heavy at the deadline and Milwaukee didn't want to play ball. What do you think of the offer and the chances that the Heat and Riley can pull this off?
Yeah, I think it's the other way. I think it's Milwaukee who hasn't said yes to that offer. I think the Bucks are looking for more. It's, you know, when you're trading Giannis, you can only trade Giannis once, right? So you got to get it right. You're not going to rush it. You don't need to go into it. And I think for the Bucks, you're looking at it as Tyler Hero has no value to them. They're not going to be good. And I know everybody says, well, they can flip him in the next trade. Miami's been trying to trade him for 3 years now. Hasn't been able to find a deal. So we'll see. Nikola Jovic's contract looks a little questionable with his production. So Hawkins and Ware are good young players, but Hawkins needs a new contract either this summer or next. Ware is right behind that, and they're good young players, but they're not like top tier picks. And those draft picks that are coming their way, If you're the Bucks, you're kind of, I don't know how good those picks are going to be. So I think if you're Milwaukee, that's why we're hearing Boston is involved, and they're, you know, still searching out other teams, because I think they're looking at and saying that Miami offer, it's just not enough.
Okay, so what are the chances then he stays put? Is that possible?
I don't think it's going to be, because I think when push comes to shove, it'll be, all right, we have to go, because they can't live through another season like they just went through, where it was, you know, every 3 days there's a new trade rumor, trade request, kind of, sort of, but not really, and telling guys, I don't want to trade it, I love it here, while, you know, on the backside, guys are like, we all know he doesn't want to be here anymore. It just gets far too messy. So I think we're going to be in a position where we do see a move get made eventually, but I think Milwaukee's going to slow play this if they need to.
Okay, Keith, there's been a lot of rumblings regarding the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Paulie just brought up the Miami Heat. What about the Oklahoma City Thunder? I know it sounds crazy. I know people will make the argument the rich go and get richer. They have a ton to work with as far as picks are concerned. They could, dare I say, dangle Chet Holmgren if that's something they wanted to do. Do you get a sense Oklahoma City could be in on the Giannis sweepstakes?
I don't. I just don't think for them it makes sense. I think they know, hey, we're already good enough without this guy. And we don't necessarily need to go this direction. It would be, they're already expensive. They would be even more expensive with Giannis. And then eventually something gives. Yeah, you'd have to start to bleed out other talent. And I think they also know he's not necessarily a great fit for them the way they play. I know that feels like it's crazy because it's Giannis, but SGA has the ball a lot. Jalen Williams has the ball a lot. Giannis is not a guy who does very well when it's just, hey, stand over there and we'll, you know, it'll come your way eventually. That's why, you know, he struggled when he was with Damian Lillard in the likes. He needs to be with on a team where he can have the ball a lot and other guys can play off ball, and the Thunder aren't really set up that way.
Fair enough. Okay, you got to help me with the odds for next year's title. I totally understand San Antonio and OKC 1-2. Makes sense. They're loaded. They're young. San Antonio's barely scratched the surface. OKC, in theory, should be much healthier than what they were at the end of the postseason. But you got to make sense of this to me. How are the Celtics ahead of the Knicks? I understand I'm from New York. I understand I'm still basking in the glory of the Knicks winning their first title in 53 years. But Keith, correct me if I'm wrong. The Knicks beat the Celtics in the playoffs 2 years ago. They match up extremely well with Boston. Why are the odds makers looking at Boston now and they're jacking them up? Is it because of Giannis? Like, is that where this is coming from? Because, hey, if it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, I'm telling you right now, Knicks Celtics, I'm unloading on the Knicks in a serious price. I can't wait to make that bet.
Yeah, I got to believe there's two parts to that. One is maybe they do get Giannis, and that would change things pretty significantly for them. Then the other part is just the fact they're always there. They even last year, when they weren't supposed to be very good, they were still the second best team in the East in the regular season. So I think that's why it's, you know, hey, they're always there. There's if you listen to Brad Stevens' press conference at the end of the regular season,
right?
The end of the playoffs, he was mad. He was upset. He was like, this isn't good enough. We're bad. Like we weren't good enough against the good teams. Like, none of this is good enough. And that's why I think there's the sense of they're either involved on Giannis or they're working on something that, like, nobody sees coming. That's going to be kind of like they did a couple years ago when they loaded up with Porzingis and Holiday and went after it that way. I think that's probably why they're up there.
Well, I agree with them. And I don't like the shooting 53s a game business either. At Pauly Market, he's 48% to go to Boston. He's 47% to go to Miami. Where do you think Giannis winds up, Keith?
I do think it'll ultimately be Miami. I just think Miami is the team that is most directly connected to him. We know what their offer is. If they're holding anything back in the offer, they can always add to it. If, you know, Miami can always go and work on, all right, if you don't want Tyler Hero, maybe we can find a third team that'll take Tyler Hero and then, you know, route something else towards the Bucks way. So I think it will be Miami when all is said and done. But if it's Boston, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, that came out of nowhere. Because it's obviously, I very much believe where there's smoke, there's at least a little bit of fire.
Follow the Money, Paulie and Johnny, the Sports Betting Network. He's smart, our guests on the Progressive Guest Line with SpotTrack. Check out his podcast as well, NBA Insider and Writer. Draft is Tuesday. Can Boozer go number two?
He can. I don't think he's going to. I think it's going to be A.J. DeBonta or Darren Peterson. I think that's the choice that the Wizards are making at number one. There's been some thought to maybe the Jazz trade up, and that's why DeBonta shut it down after only meeting with the Wizards. Maybe the Jazz will trade up to get DeBonta, who we all know they would love to have. There is a connection with Cam Boozer. His dad works for the Jazz. He played for the Jazz. So there is that there, but it does feel a little bit more like the way the Angels work when they run it. When they have a player, they're not going to let other stuff get in their way, and they don't care if Darren Peterson meets with them at all. They didn't meet with Ace Bailey for a minute last year before the draft, and they took him without hesitation. So I think it'll be DeBonta Peterson 1-2 off the board.
Okay, Keith, the most fascinating draft storyline for you is what?
After the top four, what happens with that fifth pick with the Clippers? Do they keep it? Do they take somebody and start to maybe go a little bit in a youth movement around Kawhi Leonard? It seems very clear they're not going to trade him. Steve Ballmer has batted that away. There's still the open investigation. Nobody knows what's going to happen with that. We haven't heard anything other than Adam Silver during the finals say, yeah, it needs to get wrapped up soon. Like, everybody needs to know what's going on, but that's still open. And then I think for me, it becomes the next group of players. They're all guards. It's Darius Acuff. It's Keaton Wagler. It's Kingston Flemings, Mikel Brown Jr. It's this long group of guards. And like, how is that going to work out? Cause some of those teams like Brooklyn, for example, at six just drafted a bunch of guards a year ago. They don't necessarily need another guard. I'm very curious. I think once we get through the top four, it's going to be open season for trades. And we might see a lot of trade movement up and down the board.
Keith, the future bet I made, I got it. It's juicy. And I know there are questions about this team. I think the Indiana Pacers are going to bounce back in a huge way next year. Mm-hmm. This is a team that went to Game 7 in the NBA Finals 2 years ago. I grabbed them at 40-1. Mm-hmm. I know they didn't get the draft luck they were hoping for in the lottery. Do you expect the Pacers to be a major factor next year in the East?
Yeah, I think they're going to be awesome. As long as Halliburton's ready to go and there are no real indications that he shouldn't be, they're going to be great. They're going to be the team that they were a couple years ago, and then they're going to have Ivica Zubac in the middle, so a much better defensive presence than what they had before. And I think they'll look back on it. Some of the reps some of their younger players got over this course of this year, it should only help them. So I'm absolutely with you. I think they're going to be a major factor. I think the East as a whole is coming around, and I think the Eastern Conference is going to look really good next year when you kind of compare it to the West after years and years of, you know, these teams hearing about, oh, the West is such a bloodbath, when, you know, in the finals, the East teams tend to do pretty good. They've done all right when they get there.
Excellent work, my friend. Enjoy the draft, and we'll talk soon. Appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Keith Smith with the NBA, a Keith Smith NBA with SpotTrack on X on the Progressive Guest Line. I like your Pacer bet. No one's talking about them. And I am with you as well. The Celtics can't have better odds than the Knicks. That is outrageous. And I'm not saying the Knicks should be the favorites, because OKC will reload and the Spurs will probably make some moves. But Dolan says we want to run it back. And the Knicks are going to be a force next year as well. Swiss on the board. 1-0 in the 80th minute. Up next, win some, lose some. Some big tickets cash last night. And it happened down the street at the Westgate for the second time. And this only took 3 minutes. We'll tell you what that is next on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Polly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
A red card for Bosnia. Another goal for the Swiss. Now you got to sweat the total. 2-0. 85th minute. Red card was 5-1. South Africa match. Goal in the first 10 plus 450. Exact score 1-1 plus 650. Draw again plus 275. You are up 26 frickin' units. Betting draw in every match. Both teams to score again, yes, 18 and 7 so far. Penalty, South Africa to score on a penalty was 5-1. England, Croatia, 4-2 exact score, 45-1. Harry Kane, 2 goals, 7-1. England to score on a penalty, plus 275. BTTS, minus 105. Ghana and Panama, 1-0 exact score, plus 675. Colombia wins 3-1, exact score 11-1, both teams to score, plus 140. Daily specials, MLB, most runs, dead heat, Marlins and Pirates. Marlins were 25-1, Pirates were 9-1, also a highest scoring game, 12-1. WNBA, the Lynx, 5.5 up to 10.5, they routed the Sparks. What a performance by Miles. I look up, she's 10 of 11 from the floor. As the Lynx got everything they wanted offensively, especially in the first half. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'll get up there, Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, be part of the show, and send them in. We'll put you on. It's that easy. Here's what I was talking about. It hit a couple years ago, right down the street at the Westgate. A 25-year-old kid shows up from Atlanta, and he plays Megabucks. I think, was it $3 a pull, Luke? Or five? Three or five? He's on the Wolf game. I didn't even know they had this. He's playing for 3 minutes. $5, okay, $5 a push. He's playing for 3 minutes, and he wins $10.3 million. Incredible story. And now he could be a mess for life with all that money. Imagine he got that kind of money at 25 years old. The kid sits down for 3 minutes.
Must be nice, Paulie. Oh, my God. Must be nice.
That's just now he's going to have a ton of fun. And the best part now, it's not the Westgate's money. They don't want him to leave now. They'll comp everything till the next through 2-3 months if he wants it. Excellent. How about another one? Thanks to the viewer who sent this in. This is the 15-year anniversary of the Boston Bruins winning the cup and going to Foxwoods and getting after it with almost a $200,000 bar tab. Things have certainly changed.
Baby.
Yeah, certainly changed with the prices. But look, I think the service tax is like $25,000. The tax is $8,000. You got the Stella. You got the bottle of water on there. You got every ace, the ace of spades, everything. What an incredible mix. There's always one, one at every party. As you see the bill, there's like a Bud Light at this. How did that get on there with some of the stuff? Incredible performance.
Oh, that's a bar tab that I would expect you to be running, buddy boy. Expect that to be in your price range out in Vegas.
God. That's incredible. It actually got off cheap. They got off easy 15 years ago with the whole team with getting after it and what they did. Lose some. The Sun plus 4 to -2.5. No good there in the WNBA. Couple lose some. Do you have the Kolek from the parade? As John mentioned earlier, at least... Okay, here it is. Here's the picture. They thought he was a fan. And the cops come running.
Am I wrong, though? Am I wrong, Paulie? Doesn't he give off the vibe of like a 20-some Upper East Side frat bro?
Absolutely.
That's hanging out at the parade, guzzing Miller Lights, making his way out, trying to go and have some fun down to Canyon of Heroes. It's like, well, yeah. Here's the difference.
Totally agree.
Now, yep. You're part of the team.
Yeah, he's got the hat.
Come on, officer. Let's go. Let's get it right.
Yes, absolutely. I can see why they made the mistake, and luckily it didn't get out of hand as a bunch of guys came over and he realized, I'm a player. I'm on the team. Come on, take it easy. How about an African safari? Imagine tons of fun. Look at this guy coming after you. I mean, it's like a Jurassic Park, right? Does this thing go any faster? Can we hurry up here? Yeah, I got 3,000 pounds coming at me easy, and these guys can scoot. I mean, look at this. Okay, they got away easy from the hippo. But look at this guy. I mean, he is coming fast, closing in like Christian.
Wow.
Christian Okoye there, and he's trying to take a watch. He tries to take a bite of the vehicle here at the end, and almost locks onto it. Oh my God! I mean, you go.
So, Paulie, a little context here. I did my honeymoon in South Africa.
Oh, really?
So we were on some. Yes, I did. My wife wanted to go somewhere we would never go ever again.
Okay.
South Africa ended up being the trip. The trip was absolutely insane, incredible. Had a wonderful, wonderful time. It's the longest I've ever been away on vacation. Went right after the Vegas Super Bowl, right after I lost way too much money because San Francisco choked the game against Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I wasn't in a good mood about that.
Right.
I went on the safari. I didn't witness anything as outrageous as what you just showed there on video. I wish we had a hippopotamus chasing us down as we're in one of those like Jeeps. Dude, I was dying for something like that to happen.
He almost ate the mirror. On this second video here. Chris, send that
the
to me.
The mirror, all the cell phones and people taking videos as it's happening. Yeah, no Wouldn't have been so funny, you know, as the phone is getting eaten away in your hand by a hippo, but, you know, he's keeping score.
Just had a vicious beat. Switzerland scores again. Under 2.5, no good. 3-0 in the 92nd minute. And Ghana, Panama, 0-0 was 9-1. Panama plus a half, draw, all of it gone. Ghana scores in the 94th minute. Sharp Plays, we love it. He's been with us since day one. Great intel. The daily Mr. Poison tweets, alerts directly from the pros. The Robin Hood Plays, donated over $30,000 to charity and reaching out to over 500 sources and bettors worldwide across all sports and sending out to subscribers in real time. SharpPlays.com. Get up there, get the telegram, and get up there and win. SharpPlays.com. Okay, so you're in your backyard with the U.S. Open in Shinnecock. It appears now with the sun out, and the wind has died down, and things have certainly changed because the guys going out late, Schauffele, 2-under through 3, Horschel, 2-under through 2, Wyndham Clark, 2-under through 4, DeChambeau, 2-under through 5. Likewise, Aaron Rye. These guys are coming in all with a share of the lead now that just got out there on a course.
Well, and it just goes to show you, Paulie, that sometimes it's about the luck of the draw. For players that maybe got out in the morning, you had some rain in the forecast, you had a whole lot of wind in the forecast, and nobody was lighting this place up. They're having far more success in these afternoon tea times. And, you know, you asked me earlier in the show if there was a surprise atop the leaderboard.
Yeah.
I know it's early, but to me, Paulie, Bryson DeChambeau being atop the leaderboard is a big surprise. And for some people, they're going to be like, well, JJ, what kind of nonsense is that? He won the U.S. Open a couple of years ago. This is a guy who's got a major pedigree. If you've been paying attention, he's played terrible golf this year. He was awful at the Masters. He was awful at the PGA Championship. And because of what's going on with the LIV Tour, you do have to wonder if his mind is maybe in some other places. And that's why you've had the struggles that you've had. But it's not been great golf for Bryson. I did not expect much from him this weekend. So to see him come out of the gate strong, and I know it's early and he's got a lot of golf left to play, that to me would be a takeaway here, Paulie. There's something to watch. DeChambeau off to a hot start.
Horschel, Schauffele, Clark, DeChambeau, Rye, Stevens, all 2-under. And McIntyre's out there now as well. He's 1-under, and it's getting juicy now with the U.S. Open. Rory is the favorite at DraftKings. Schauffele is now the second shot. And Scotty is 9-1, the third shot. And there's a couple amateurs up there making some noise early at doing a pretty good job out there as well. So we'll see. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised with the scores because it was so damn windy early on. And I know they said they learned something from 2018 and they wanted to make it fair. And what happened with, you know, the Mickelson throwing his tantrum and taking the two-stroke penalty. I'm surprised at these scores early on. And also the last time we had it here, Koepka won at 1-over.
You know, Paulie, normally I root for the chaos of the course dominating the players with the U.S. Open. To me, it makes this event the most fun out of any of them. I know most people will tell you it's the Masters because of all the pageantry and because it's usually the best players in the world at their peak. And that's normally the type that ends up dominating the leaderboard in the Augusta National Tournament in early April, give or take. I like seeing these guys tormented at the U.S. Open. Grow out that rough. Make those greens super challenging. Let these guys suffer. But most importantly, let the guys that I go and pick go and find a way to get the best of the course. So I don't care if Xander Schauffele shoots 1-over par. If he goes and wins the U.S. Open and I'm cashing a ticket a little under 20-1, we're going to like the sound of that. So good stuff for DeChambeau. That's our takeaway.
Going to be Bedlam tomorrow. We're on air live during USA and Australia. The meat man, Steve Wiss, his thoughts and soccer plays coming up. We'll also talk to Kelly Bidlin, his thoughts on the first round of the U.S. Open and takeaways moving forward. And Realer Fugazi also coming up. Looking, I'm going to go rapid fire with New York stuff with John with that as well. He's looking forward to it. Adam Zdrojek up next. We have Canada and Qatar in an hour. Picks on that match. The big one with Mexico and South Korea. And can USA do it again? He's got a prop he loves in the USA match. Straight ahead, downtown where it all goes down. Circa, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.